He's doing something that you can't see, but you're waiting, you're working, you're still doing, you're still living, still doing the things that God has put in front of you now. But He's leading you somewhere. He's working in you and refining you to be there. And all the while that you're in the waiting, He's moving things around and shifting things around that you can't see. You have no idea what God is doing out there. Sometimes you don't even know if He's there. Maybe sometimes you think He's forgotten about you, because you've been praying and praying and praying for this situation and this person, these things to change, and they haven't yet. But God is always working for His children. He's actually working for His greater will that we fit into. All of us, as His children, fit into His perfect will, some form, some fashion. What are you praying for? What are you waiting for? You may not see God working, but He's doing some pretty amazing things. Right now, as we walk through the passage of Scripture, let me tell you, this ending part of Acts, it can just be a narrative if you just read over it. But when you realize that God is sovereign and God is in control and God is doing some things behind the scenes for Paul, for the furtherance of the gospel, because if you remember in the last chapter, chapter 24, what was Jesus' instructions to Paul? To go be a witness in Rome. And God is bringing Paul to Rome, but it's a difficult journey, and it's taken time, and Paul is in the waiting. If you have your Bible, Acts 24. Acts 24, verse 26 and 27. And then we get into Acts 25, verses 1 through 12. Last week, when we left off in this passage, Felix was the governor. Felix was a rascal man. He was something else. He was very cruel, very brutal. But something about Paul intrigued him. So let's read here Acts 24, verse 26 and 27, where Paul is in custody in Caesarea, and Felix is the governor over this area of Judea, this province of Judea. And Felix is interested in what Paul has to say. Over and over again, verse 26 and 27 says, at the same time, he was hoping that money would be given to him by Paul. Therefore, he also used to summon for him quite often and converse with him. But after 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul imprisoned. Let's pray. God, as we look in your word tonight, this morning, we don't understand everything that's going on, even in Paul's life. But God, as we step back a little bit and not just read a narrative of what's going on, but see your hand working as sovereign God over all things, for your grand providential plan to come about, to bring Christ, to bring the gospel to the world. Let us glean from that and see how you work in our own lives, even today in 2025. Teach us from your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are. Paul has been in custody of Felix for 2 years. 2 years he's there. He went there for a trial. He's had the trial, but Felix wouldn't let him go. He stayed there for 2 years, and Felix actually brought the gospel message to Felix. Paul brought the gospel message to Felix and his wife Drusilla, who were living in an ungodly relationship. Ungodly means. And he talked about righteousness, and he talked about living a life that was pleasing to God. And Felix didn't want to hear anymore. He sent him away, but he kept bringing him back. The scripture says that Felix was wanting to get bribed by Paul. Maybe that would have given an excuse for him to let him go. We don't know. But he was looking for an opportunity for Paul just to slide him a little bit of money, and here we go. Paul probably didn't have any money. Now, see, under Roman law, the type of custody that Paul was in had a maximum of 2 years. You could keep him up to 2 years. But Felix here, in his brutal way, demonstrated that he really didn't care about the Roman law. He wanted to keep Paul and detain him even longer. Now, we're going to get some background here that kind of helps us to understand what God is doing apart from just the narrative of what Paul is going through. It's good to kind of color in some things here for us. So Felix was recalled by Emperor Nero in AD 59 because of his cruel, heavy-handed handling of a dispute between the Judeans, the Jews, and the Gentiles there in Caesarea. So Felix was very cruel, and he had a lot of Jews killed. He was ruthless. The same Felix that Paul is talking to. Emperor Nero in Rome recalled him. We'll get into Nero in just a little bit. So Felix left Paul imprisoned as a way to win favor with the Jews because he had treated them so badly. He wanted a good relationship because anything a governor wanted, he did not want a riot to break out in his province because that would cost him his job not only, but also his life. So he wanted a peace there because the Jews, you know, brought a lot of tax money for Rome. We always have to keep in the mind what the motive is of a lot of these things that's going on. Rome wanted peace in Jerusalem, peace in Israel. Why? Because the temple was there. It was a great money laundering scheme on the Jewish people, and they brought a lot of tax money. So keep the peace. So here is a Roman governor wanting to keep the peace. The Jews wanted Paul dead. He'll just leave him in prison because he found nothing wrong that he did. He didn't deserve to die. But if we just keep him in prison, they'll be happy. Paul's still alive. Everything's good. So he left him in prison, even though he knew that he was breaking the laws, and he knew that Paul was innocent, that Paul broke no laws himself. Well, because he mishandled some things there in Caesarea, he's called back to Rome, and he's replaced by Porcius Festus. So we begin reading here in chapter 25. Let's read together chapter 25, verses 1 through 12. Then Festus, having arrived in the province after 3 days, went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. And the chief priests and the leading men of the Jews brought charges against Paul. Here's 2 years later. New governor, let's try again. And they were pleading with him, requesting a favor against Paul, that he might have him brought to Jerusalem while they set an ambush to kill him on the way. Festus then answered that Paul was being kept in custody at Caesarea and that he himself was about to leave shortly. Therefore, he said, let the influential men among you, go down there with me. And if there is anything wrong about this man, let them accuse him. So now we see that Festus is a new governor here. Overall, Festus seems to be a pretty good fellow. But he's the governor of the province of Judea. And he stayed there about three years, about from 59 to AD 62. These dates are important. Why? Because you can plug now biblical history into world history. And you can see what's happening. Most of us had world history in high school or college, and now we can see how the Bible plugs into this same time frame. But now something about Festus. He inherited all the problems that Felix left behind, his predecessor. Well, Felix, in regard to the Roman practice of creating civil privileges to the Jews, it created a problem for the next guy. And man, he also had another problem with Herod Agrippa II and the Jewish priest at Jerusalem. Herod Agrippa II was the grandson of Herod the Great, who was in charge of building this second temple. He was in charge of overseeing that. Well, he built him a nice palace there next to the temple where the Jews had constructed a wall so Herod couldn't see what was going on at the temple. Well, he had that issue to deal with now also. So there was a lot of hostility going on, a lot of Jewish hostility towards Rome. And it greatly inflamed by these civic privileges that the Jews were experiencing there in Caesarea. All of these small issues, what seemed to be small issues, man, they began to boil over and they grew broader, they grew stronger, and it actually led to the first Roman-Jewish war in AD 66, and eventually to the destruction of the temple in AD 70. You can find that in Matthew chapter 24. So here Emperor Nero ruled in Rome from 54 to 68 AD. Emperor Nero. This man was crazy. I'm giving you a background, giving you a broader picture of what Paul is fixing to go through to see how God's hand is moving even through all of these evil men for the gospel to go to Rome. So Emperor Nero ruled in Rome from 54 to 68 A.D. His reign began with some promise now. He descended into extravagance and murder and persecution. But early on there, Emperor Nero had some great promise. He enjoyed popularity by ending some social secret trials. He reduced taxes. He gave the Senate more power. He banned capital punishment. He supported disaster-stricken cities and established some artistic competition. So he was doing some things that the Romans really enjoyed and really wanted. He was a popular politician, popular emperor. But then the dark side started showing up. Nero's mother, Agrippina, don't name your child that, had murdered Emperor Claudius and placed her son on the Roman throne, Nero. And Nero eventually broke free of his mother's influence and her advisors. And Nero became known for his debauchery and rumors circulating sexual exploits with boys and married women. Man, he went downhill fast. Then in AD 64, a fire destroyed much of Rome, believed to be on the orders of Nero. He conveniently blamed the Christians and persecuted very brutally these Christians who were unpopular to start off with. He used some Christians as human torches during garden parties. We can't even begin to imagine the brutality that went on against Christians here in the early church. So Nero declined into some psychotic and neurotic behaviors. His reign was marked by revolts in Britain and in Gaul, and unemployment, high disgust at his excesses. He murdered his wife and others. He ordered his former advisor to commit suicide and executed critical senators who didn't agree with what he was doing. But then facing condemnation by the Senate, Nero committed suicide in AD 68. Man, there's some crazy things going on in Rome, and Paul is set here, and Jesus just told him, go to Rome. We are never to complain where God has told us to go. You afraid to go to your neighbor's house and cry with them as they grieve? Share Christ with them, people that you go to school with and work with? Paul is sitting in a jail, been there for 2 years, and Jesus gave him strict instruction to go to Rome and be his witness. And this is the craziness that's going on in Rome. So now we have this background picture of what's going on in the Roman Empire, and we read about this hostility between the Jews and Rome, turmoil and all these things going in Nero's psychotic behavior. The burning of Rome, 3/4 of Rome burnt down. New Christians getting blamed, rounded up, imprisoned, and executed. But that's where God wanted Paul to be. So there's hostility between the Jews and the Rome, between Jews and the Christians, between Rome against Christians, and internal struggles in the Romans themselves. A lot of turmoil going on in the world. But where was Paul? Sitting in Herod's palace in Caesarea. So Festus is named governor of Judea there in verse 1. Festus then, having arrived in the province after 3 days, went to Jerusalem. Immediately he went to the most powerful city in Israel, Jerusalem, and where the temple was at. He's trying to win favor with the Jews because Felix had left a mess for him. So Festus goes down as governor of Judea from 59 to 62. And Festus inherited this bitterness, these feelings among the Jews that were just a huge mess. And he also had Apostle Paul to deal with. He goes down to Jerusalem. He stays there for a little while. And Paul had been in prison for 2 years, never set free. He was never proven guilty of anything. But Felix just kept him there. Festus is going down to win favor with the Jews. The Jews ask him something, verse 2 and 3. The chief priests and the leading men of the Jews brought charges against Paul, requesting a favor against Paul. So now they're playing a political game. They want to get back at Paul. They wanted him to be brought back to Jerusalem, but they were setting an ambush again for him. Now, history tells that Festus was a pretty good, basically a decent man. He governed well despite all these problems that were there. And only 3 days in office, he goes there, and he's requested already for a political favor by the Jews. So even though 2 years had elapsed, these people didn't forget about Paul sitting in that jail. They did not forget about Paul sitting there. And man, they wanted him dead. They wanted Paul to appear before them in Jerusalem. And man, the whole point was that they were going to kill him on his way to down. So the next day, the Jewish zealots... Remember, they're the ones who plotted against Paul the first time to bring him down. And in that whole thing, and that's why the zealots wanted to kill Paul, and that's why he got escorted and brought up to Caesarea with these 472 officers to protect him. Why in the world now would Festus try to send him back down to Jerusalem? I don't know if he got word that there was a plot to kill Paul, but he did not agree to it. He refuses to put Paul on trial in Jerusalem, verse 4 through verse 6. So Festus then answered that Paul was being kept in custody in Caesarea and that he himself was about to leave shortly. Therefore he said, let the influential men among you go down there with me, and if there is anything wrong about the man, let them accuse him. And after he spent no more than 8 to 10 days among them, He went down to Caesarea, and on the next day he took his seat in judgment seat and ordered Paul to be brought. He wanted to handle this thing immediately. But God wasn't finished. All this craziness going on in the Roman Empire, which Israel was part of, this Roman Empire occupation there. All this craziness going on, Christ told Paul, go to Rome and be a witness. And man, look at Paul. He's sitting here on his second trial in 2 years, and he had done nothing wrong, illegal. Why was he being held if he didn't do anything illegal? Because God wanted him in Rome. Sometimes God allows things in your life that are unfair, and you don't know why they happen. You can't understand it, but it happened, and it happened to you. It was unfair that Paul was in prison, but there was a reason that he was there. Because God said this. We learn and we grow so many times when we're untreated unfairly. When we see the ugliness of humanity. When we're talked about. We're betrayed. All these things that people can do against us. Even the system sometimes can be unfair. But look what we learn. Paul lost 2 years of his life because he was treated unfairly. But it was God's will. Hello, Christian. It was God's will for Paul to be treated unfairly. Because God's providential will, his long-term will, built Paul to go where he wanted him to go. Where's God sending you? What's God have in store for you? We're so busy crying about being treated unfairly. We're drowning our own tears about this thing, that it shouldn't have been this way, it shouldn't have happened this way. All God says, would you just look up, child? Look to me. I've got something for you. You're going to make it. You can do hard things. You can move beyond this. Get you where I want you to be. So Festus is willing to put him on trial there in Caesarea, and he does. So he opens the court case, verse 6 through 8. And on the next day, he took his seat in the judgment seat and ordered Paul to be brought. And after Paul arrived, the Jews had come down from Jerusalem, stood around him now, bringing many serious charges against him, which they could not prove. And while Paul, verse 8, said in his own defense, I've committed no sin either against the law of the Jews or against the temple or against Caesar. I've done nothing wrong against the Jews or the Gentiles. So when Festus called Paul into court, man, I don't know if Paul was ready, but the Holy Spirit was ready. And he spoke through Paul. So these complaints by these religious leaders, these Jewish leaders, they were pretty serious. They're claiming that Paul was a ringleader. We have to understand what was going on in Jerusalem and Israel that day. There were many false messiahs, little m, many antichrists coming through, proclaiming to be Messiah, because the Jews were all looking for Messiah. And they would have these little followings, and they would start up trouble and riots. People trying to overthrow, and they would kill them. The Roman government shut them out. When Jesus come around, what did they do to Jesus? They brought these false charges against Jesus and killed him. They're trying to get now to prove that Paul is one of those. He's a ringleader. He's going to start up trouble. He's going to start riots there in Jerusalem. And if there's trouble, you know what that happens to you, Governor. It looks bad. They're going to pull you back to Rome, maybe even convict you. And you don't want that. Your job is to keep the peace and collect the taxes. So this back and forth all over one man, Paul. So they tried to get the most serious charges against him. He's a ringleader. He's stirring up trouble. So the Romans would just put him to death. The Jews really feared the gospel of Jesus because it was offensive to them. It was offensive to their work-based religion. The gospel teaches that a person is saved by faith in Jesus alone, believing in God's Son, that he lived a sinless life, and he took God's wrath on himself on the cross for our sins. Saving faith in Jesus is a gift that causes a believer to repent. So salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone, according to Scriptures alone, all for the glory of God alone. A simple gospel of faith and repentance. And it was contrary to their works-based religion of the Jews. And listen, it's contrary to the work-based religion of a lot of people today here in America. A lot of people believe that they need Jesus plus something to go to heaven. Well, you need Jesus and you need to be baptized. No. Ville Platte water doesn't add anything to what Jesus did on the cross. Believe me. We just try to keep it clear. Listen. You don't need Jesus plus the Lord's Supper. You don't need Jesus plus church attendance. You don't need Jesus plus giving. You don't need Jesus plus service. You don't need Jesus plus obedience. Having Christ produces obedience. You can't add your obedience to Jesus to be saved. So a lot of times I ask people, are you going to heaven when you die? Well, I hope I do. I think I've been good enough. You see, that's works-based religion. You'll never be good enough. None of your works, all your works, your righteousness is filthy rags, Scripture tells us. But the gospel, the simple gospel of faith in Christ and repentance of your sin was offensive to these Jews who were trying to work their way to heaven. And it's offensive to us today. So Paul responds, listen, confidently, of the evidence in his life and his integrity to validate his innocence. Think about many in Scripture were targets like Paul. Many, many Christians stood up for Jesus and the Word of God. Many, many were killed. We even saw a month ago Charlie Kirk. This man stood up for God. He stood for Christ, he stood on God's word, and he debated people on college campuses. He wasn't debating them politically. He wasn't debating social things. He was debating them on the standards of Christ, living a godly life, that Christ saves even though we don't deserve it. And because of Christ, it influences all these other areas of our life. Those weren't the hot topics. Jesus was the hot topic. And he was assassinated. Jesus influences every part of a person's life and the direction that their life goes. Here Paul is, man, because of Christ, it was influencing everything going on around him. Verse 9 through 12 says, but Festus, so Paul appeals to Caesar here. But Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, politics, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go to Jerusalem? Now, he just told those Jews in Jerusalem he wasn't bringing them there, and he listened to everything going on. He said, he asked Paul, are you willing to go to Jerusalem to be tried before me on these matters? Paul said, I'm standing before Caesar's judgment seat now, where I ought to be tried. I've done no wrong to the Jews, as you very well know. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything worthy of death, I do not refuse to die. But if none of these things is true, of which these men accuse me, no one can hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar. Then when Festus had conferred with his council, he answered, "You have appealed to Caesar, and to Caesar you shall go." All this turmoil, two trials, 2 years, all this mess. Paul is in the waiting. He's been proven innocent both times. Neither Felix nor Festus could find anything that he did wrong. And what did he have to do? Appeal to Caesar. Where's Caesar? Rome. Where did Jesus tell Paul to go? Rome. These hard things, these unfair things were getting Paul where he needed to be because Jesus told him to go there. And he was using the legal system, even as unfair as he was being treated, and all this turmoil going on, Paul was still navigating through this, not on his own accord. He didn't know that. He just wanted to go. He did what any Roman citizen would do if they were mistreated or unfairly. They didn't get what the response that they want. They said, "I have a right to go to Caesar. I have a right for Caesar to hear my case. I want to go to Caesar." He'd been there 2 years. I think he was frustrated too. He was getting nowhere with these governors. I think he was getting frustrated that that politics was playing in it. Boy, Paul was just like us. Don't you get frustrated when politics plays a part in your life that's unfavorable? I think we all can identify with that. Paul was being treated unfairly. He didn't see all the things that God was maneuvering out here, and neither can we. Listen, when you're treated unfairly, God is doing some things out here, and he's doing some things in here. I've learned this. When people mistreat you, and you start harboring bitterness, you start harboring resentment, God is going to put you right in the pathway of that person. Now what you going to do, big boy? Are you going to be a Christian, or are you going to act like the world? Are you going to show grace and mercy, or are you going to act like the world and be ugly and bitter and resentful and let that person write the story of your life? They'll taint every page of your life. See, Festus knew Paul was innocent. Yet he didn't have the spine to make a clean decision in favor of Paul over the Jews. Festus thought it better for him to have and keep a good relationship with the Jewish people, peace and taxes. And Festus chose political favoritism over what was fair and correct and justice for Paul. Paul was intelligent. He knew the Roman system, judicial system. He was a Roman citizen. He was Jew, but he was a Roman citizen. Paul knew Festus was a Roman justice, and that's where he needed to be in here in case. He knew if he went down to Jerusalem, they were going to kill him. He already heard that the Sicarii, the Zealots, tried to kill him before 2 years ago. They're going to wait for him. It's like, I'm where I need to be. Listen, wherever you are right now, and you don't understand, listen, if you're pursuing God, your mind is on Christ. Listen, Christian, you are where God has you. Things may not be in your favor right now, but he has you in a place that he's growing something in you called faith and submission. We don't understand that all the way. Paul may have not understand that. But listen, what God did for Paul to grow him where he needs to be, he's going to work in our life in a similar way that has the same effects. Paul remembers what Jesus told him in Acts 23, verse 11. He says, "Take courage. For as you have solemnly borne witness to my cause in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness at Rome also." He refused to go to Jerusalem. He said, "I appeal to Caesar. I'm going to Rome." And going and appealing to Caesar is basically like the Roman Supreme Court. I have a right to hear my have my case before the Supreme Court. Man, this text we're studying happens in about AD 62. Those dates may not mean a whole lot to us, but we need to have it in context of what's going on, not only in world history, but for this. Listen, Paul specifically appealed to Caesar Nero, who later became a notorious enemy of Christians. And at this time, he was actually regarded as wise and just ruler. Paul didn't know what was going on with Nero, but God sure did. Paul just knew that he heard word that Nero was kind of fair. Paul's requesting to go here, go stand before Caesar. He knew he needed to go to Rome. God knew that was an evil man that he was going to stand before, but God used him anyway. Nero murdered his own mother, had his advisor killed. He burned down 3/4 of Rome, the fire of Rome in AD 64. Listen, he set fire to that, to his own city, so that he could have a new mansion built there. We have some pictures there, James. He burned his own city, 3/4 of his own city. Hundreds of people died in this fire, so he could clear out a way to build him a new palace and to rebuild Rome in his own image. That's who God was sending Paul to stand before. It burned for 6 days and 7 nights. It burned 10 of the 14 provinces there, or sections there in Rome. Paul appealing to Nero is when Nero still regarded as wise, but things went downhill very fast. Listen, in this narrative, we can see God's divine providence of protection for Paul, bringing him through the legal system to get him to Rome. It was unfair. Paul didn't like it. The other Christians didn't like it. But Paul needed to go where Jesus was sending him, and they was making a way. Listen, God will make a way in your life, even though it's not where you desire to be or how you desire to get there. He is making a way in your life to get you where he wants you to be. And it hurts, but you know what? Paul prayed every night. Paul prayed for God's will to be done. He knew his commission, and he had to go. Listen, God, Christian, if you are called of God as his son or his daughter, you have a commission to be a witness wherever he sends you. Here's some takeaways for you. There on the back by the offering boxes. Takeaways help us to just a reminder of what we've covered, a few things. Number one is this. There are some things that will happen in your life that you will not understand why you're struggling through the situation. But trust God with the why and where he is leading you. Number two, Felix left Paul in prison for 2 years for apparently no reason, yet God was working out his perfect plan while Paul waited. What are you waiting for? Number three, there are people that are motivated by politics, power, and popularity rather than what is right, fair, and just. Understand that. Number four, there are some people that are bent on making life difficult for Christians. Do not grow discouraged. Rather, submit yourself to the Lord, and he will strengthen your resolve to persevere through the challenges. Unfairness, challenges are meant to build you up. There may be some things that God needs to break down in you to build that resolve in you. Number five. Anytime you stick your neck out to lead, someone will be jealous and will try to chop you down or chop your neck off through malicious words or hurtful actions. Lead any. Grow some thick skin and face the criticisms with grit and an attitude of learning. Boy, I can push that to Isaiah and Brother Isaac real quick. I had a seminary professor. She was the wife of a pastor. He had passed on, and she's passed on now. But she looked like everybody's favorite grandma. She looked at a bunch of us pastors and youth pastors in this room. She stuck her little finger out at us. Said, if you want to pastor God's people, you're going to be hurt. So you better get some thick skin. Yes, ma'am. She was right. Number six, the gospel teaches that a person is saved by faith in Jesus Christ and repentance of his or her sin. Number seven is this. Jesus commissioned Paul to go be his witness in Rome. The process for Paul to get to Rome was slow, it was difficult, and it was lonely. Yet Paul stayed the course in faith, all for the glory of God. May we too endure to the end to fulfill the commission God has given each to us to be his witness. Let's pray together as we stand. I'll be here in the front. If you want to come talk to me after service, everybody leaves out. Feel free to come pray at this altar. Father God, you called us. And Lord, some things in life just aren't fair. I think we've all experienced that in some form or fashion. But even through that, God, as your child, we look to you. And God, you've taken some things out of us. You've purified us in certain areas of our life. God, sometimes you're still working on us long, long after. Father, I pray this morning for your people. As we follow this narrative of Paul, that this Christian life is not for the weak of heart. It is not for those who want to quit. But you've called us to endure and to persevere, not in our own strength, not in our own abilities, but by falling on our face before you and say, God, I can't do this on my own. I need you. Fill me fresh and anew with your Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us. Lord, as we go from here through this week, building us, changing us, build up and tear down what you need to us to in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We're dismissed this morning.